15. For the sake of time tonight, we'd preach this morning on the far country. Boy, how close the far country is. But certainly, I'm glad that you can walk out of the far country. And I'm glad there's a welcoming from the far country. But tonight, I want to take a look at this elder brother in the last of the story. Let me give you two text verses in Luke 15, 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them." Now, he had a crowd all tore up because he is in the sinner business. They didn't look like the Pharisees, didn't walk like them, didn't smell like them. Matter of fact, the Pharisees and that crowd thought they was on a limb a little higher than everybody else. Jesus wrote three of the greatest parables in our Bible so that this bunch may apply it to their life. We said this morning we see the sheep that had drifted. I'm glad he left the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that was lost. Then the silver that was dropped, he swept the floor till he found it. Then the son that departed, you'll notice this. But now I want you to notice tonight this sibling that is disturbed. The Bible said in verse 20 of Luke 15, he arose, came to his father. When he's yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to call you son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found." They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh the house, he heard music and dancing. He called, let me clarify that dancing there. They wouldn't cut in a jig like everybody thinks they's a doing this day and night. There's a holding hands and there's a cheerleading their way of dancing. I don't think there's no strobe lights going on, amen. But here we find them having a party, having a good time. That's why we ought to be down at the house of God. We ought to be having a good time. It ought not be a mortuary. We ought to be merry, singing and dancing. Matter of fact, David was dancing and folks looked out the window and didn't like it. I'd love to preach on that Sunday. And the Bible said, now his elder son was in the field and he came and he drew nigh the house and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, "Thy brother's come. Thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound." He was angry and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." He said to him, "Son," Lord, I'm fixing to run, "thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us today. Help us tonight in the preaching of thy word. I pray, Lord, that you'd clarify my mind, my heart. God, you'd let us be a blessing to your people tonight. We sure do need you. Touch our sick, Lord. Help those on our prayer list, God, our missionaries across this land. Help them. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Now, this elder brother, I want you to notice this. There's a word here I want to deal with. is come out of verse 28. And I want to share four things about him tonight I think will help us as a Christian. Notice he was angry. And he would not go in. It didn't say he couldn't go in, but he wouldn't go in. And I want to talk about, first of all, the elder brother's fit. Anybody ever had a fit? I have a fit every now and then. It does you good every now and then have a fit, let folks know who's in charge at the house. Some of you whip him in, it'd be good you turn a table or two over, let folks know who's in charge down your house. Amen. That little boy used to come to church here and he'd just come in behind his wife, you know. He come to me, he's a mealy mouth and carrying on one day. I said, son, you know what you need to do? You need to go home and just turn a kitchen table upside down. He looked at me and said, why do I need to do that? I said, just turn it upside down, see what happens. Amen. What are you saying? You ever had a fit? Well, I want you to notice this. Verse 28, there's three things that parallel with this fit. Now, first of all, there's this thing of anger. Now, I looked it up, and it is the feeling of dislike or displeasure. I think we all know what anger is. It's the feeling of dislike or displeasure. But there's two things that accompany this fit tonight. I think that his issues were, not only did he have a problem with anger, but he had a problem with jealousy. Jealousy is the feeling of resentment against someone because of that person's achievements, assets, advantages, or attributes. Now, in other words, the feeling of resentment is against someone that's ahead of us. Jealousy. I've never been jealous of nobody behind me. But I got to be honest with you. Days gone by, I've been a little jealous of folks that's ahead of me. Now, y'all just go on and look at a calf in Newgate if you want to, but I'm going to preach with an honest heart tonight. I know what anger is about, and I know what jealousy is about. And then I know what this is about. There's another thing that correlates with his fit. Not only anger and jealousy, but you ready? Self-pity. Woo! Self-pity. Man, I can sing you a song on self-pity. I'd love to have a pity party. I do. I love to have a pity party. I'm trying to grow out of it, and I'm doing better. But I think we all have a problem a lot of times. And these things correlate together. Anger, jealousy, and self-pity. Self-pity is simply having pity for oneself. Now, a lot of times I whine, you know. I had surgery a year ago, and I'll be honest with you, I still hurt at times. Damp weather, I can tell. I'm best weather man in the neighborhood. I can tell you when damp weather's coming, amen. You get like a dog, you get to doing this way. But poor old Miss Renee, her knee's locked up, and she don't never say nothing. She just sitting there hurting, don't never whine, because I whine enough for both of us. Say amen, Mama. Amen. But self-pity. Self-pity. Now, notice his fit. Now, the Bible said in verse 28, he was angry, and he would not go in. But not only his fit, but I want you to notice his faults. The elder brother, now he's older, so this ought to qualify him to know a little more than how he's acting. And I want to correlate this to where we go to church and where we live and where we work. You know, you can expect things out of young'uns. But the elder ought to know better than some things. Now watch not only his fit, but his faults. First of all, notice his faults in this text. You can be at the Father's house, but yet a great way off. He had left the Father without leaving the house.
Now, the older brother was there first, so he assumed that he had all of the rights. He was the eldest. He said, well, I've been there first, so I have all the rights. You know, I don't think it's been a big issue here, but I have butted head with it a few times with folks that's been here a long time, and I thank God they are. It's just a few. Just a few. But we got to realize something. Maybe we're charter members, but that don't mean that we got power over nobody else. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I've been there longer. And a lot of times, you know, we think seniority is something. And seniority does have a measure in the workforce. But it don't in God's house as far as church membership. Jesus run up on this thing of seniority in Matthew 20 and verse number 2. He dealt with a thing of self-pity or jealousy. And he did one of the greatest teachings. Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And in his writings in Matthew 20, you'll notice in verse number 1, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that's a householder. He said he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they said to him, because no man hath hired us. And he said to them, well, then you go also into the vineyards, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. That's something you can always count on Jesus. He's always going to do what's right. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, evidently they'd looked what one another was a-making. You ever seen that on the job? What you making an hour? Some of y'all looked in the books that's in HR and see what other folks is a-making. Amen. Uh-oh. But when the first came, they supposed, well, that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? In other words, he said, zip it. Hush, you whining. He said, you done got more than you're worth now. Amen? And so here, the older brother was there first. He assumed he had all of the rights. Now, it's no room for jealousy in a ministry. If anybody would think that I'm jealous of the pulpit, they just hadn't been here very long, because I probably preach more preachers than any man preaching, hardly. I love to have fresh preachers coming through. I love to have different types of preachers coming in. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no room for me to be jealous over this pulpit. And there's no reason for you to be jealous over a role in the church. A man called me last week there, and they was talking about that had a problem there with the treasure in the church. They wanted to start doing a few things different. He got on a pity party that they didn't need him no more. Well, everybody's needed, but things have to change sometimes in ministry. And so just because we've been here from the get-go don't mean somebody else can't be a blessing to the church. Amen. And everybody needs a chance. We need to realize this. We're all working for the same master. And it ain't no big uns and it ain't no little uns. Thank God that it's a payday coming someday. And we'll get what's fair. We'll get what's coming to us. Just work and keep your eyes on the one that brought you into this thing. And so, then number three, you know, you can be at the Father's house, but a great way off. He also thought he was there first, so he assumed he had all the rights. Even though he is home, he didn't know what was going on. Verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Now, if you've been here long enough, you ought to know what's going on here. When somebody goes to shouting, you ought to know what they're shouting about. When you see folks getting happy, you ought not think it's strange. You ought to know what's going on at the house. And it's amazing to me, he didn't even know what was going on. Well, I don't know where he had been, but he'd been gone too long. And I don't know where some of you are at. I ought to preach this morning at altar calls when God's moving on your heart. We better not forget. We better not stay gone too long. We better remember what's going on in the house. Boy, God wants us to be close to Him. God wants us to be involved with what's going on. And I think we all ought to be involved in ministry. Everybody ought to quit waiting on somebody else to do something. If you want a job, I got all kind of jobs for you to do. Amen? Amen? All kind of job. I pulled up tonight. I turned on that light post. One of them's burnt out. I guess we're going to wait on the other guy to fix that. It's been out 7 weeks. Well, we'll wait for Brother Buddy to fix it. Well, Brother Buddy can't reach it or he had done fixed it. Even though his home didn't know what was going on. Then he thought he had all the answers, but he could not see himself in verse 29. Watch this. Bible said he's angry and he would not go in. Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years, me. He thought he had all the answers, but he could not see his self. You know what I've noticed? Can I help you now? I'm not going to preach much longer. Maybe an hour. But I want to tell you younger people something that I've noticed the older I've got. Let your words be few. It's a lot less crow to eat that way. And so he thought he had all the answers, but he couldn't see himself. You know, I think a lot of times we're too quick to answer. When somebody asks us something, a lot of times we'll say, well, let me think. Let me ponder on that a few minutes before I really give you what I think. Because just off the cuff, a lot of times I think we forget about where other people are. We have a tendency to be so narrow-minded and just looking at our environment. But what if you was there? What would you do? I think a lot of times we don't know what we would do till we're there. So be careful to say you know what you'd do. I know behind the scenes a lot of times people say, well, if I was Brother Ken, I wouldn't do that. You probably wouldn't. That's why God ain't got you here pastoring. Everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of it. I can tell you how to handle one of your kids till I get a hold of it. Isn't it amazing? You can take one kid, pop your fingers, and they do this. And you take and you pop your fingers at this and they say, come on up in here and get you some. But isn't that right? So we all know how to do things, but he thought he knew all the answers. I notice these people, they always have a tendency, you know, to know everything about everything. And then I tell you another one of his faults now. He had a fit, but talking about his faults. You can be at the Father's house, but a great way off. He hadn't left the Father without leaving home. But the older brother was there first. He assumed he had all the rights. Even though he was home, he didn't know what was going on. He thought he had all the answers, but he couldn't see himself. But in verse 29, he thought God owed him something. He really did. He thought God owed him something. We better realize something. God's not the beggar. We're the beggar. We get things in the reverse role. Let me tell you, God didn't have to save us, but He saved us by mercy and grace. And so he thought God owed him something. And then, I want you to notice in verse 28 what happened. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He held up productivity because he was having to be babysitted. I wonder how much further they could have went if he didn't have to be babysitted. Boy, this elder brother, he is old enough that he ought to have understood some things. Can I tell you, as Brother Adam had taught this morning, you know, a baby gets milk. But I'm going to tell you, both of my girls now, 28, 25 years old, whatever they are, if they were still just drinking milk all the time, we went out to Outback or Longhorn and said, I want a glass of milk. And we was all sitting there eating them 21-ounce ribeyes, cooked medium. Somebody say amen. What a sweet potato. Amen. Loaded with cinnamon and sugar. Amen. And a glass of sweet tea with extra lemon. Amen. And they just said, milk. Milk. And then we go down to Pizza Hut. Order some large meat lovers, thin crust, sweet tea, extra lemon. I'll have a glass of milk. Then we go over yonder to the top of the river, the catfish house. Turnip greens, Mexican cornbread and coleslaw, catfish fillets, sweet tea with extra lemon. And they say, I'll have milk. You're going to look, well, what's wrong with you? Well, no different than the Baptist church. We ought to get off milk and get on the meat. Go to growing in the grace of God. I'm glad we got a church that knows something about grace. I was with three preachers that most of you know one night this week, and all their wives was all gathered around. Just listening to stuff these boys are going through. It's unbelievable what goes on in churches. Amen. It's time for people to grow up and move on. Quit living in the past. Get a hold of God and do something for Him. Quit aggravating everybody in the church. You little wimpy rascals. Go and say amen tonight. Somebody say amen when the man of God's preaching. Get involved in things. But oh, his faults. He held up productivity. And I'm glad we don't have a lot of that here. You know, we don't have no issues this here. Let me close this outline. Just don't preach no more. We ain't got no issues here. Let's just go on home tonight. Some of y'all saying. His fit, his faults. But I want you to notice something. There's some facts. I want you to notice what this anger, this self-pity, and this jealousy caused him. First of all, it destroys our happiness. Instead of being glad, he was behaving mad. They was having the best service they had had in years. He was sitting there with his lips pooched out. I heard somebody had quit church on account of something other night, been there for you. Silliest stuff you ever heard in all your life. Everybody else just glad, happy, 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 happy. Well, it destroys our happiness. Everybody was glad. And you know what? He was out on the porch a pouting mad. His feelings hurt. Pity party. God owed him something. Now hang on, I'm going to get something real good in a minute. Destroys our happiness, and then secondly, it distorts our usefulness. His anger would not let him go in. The Bible says redeeming the time. Boy, what a lot there was to do there that day or that night. But instead of doing his part, he had to be nursed, doing nothing but sulking and whining and taking up time. Somebody say that's good preaching. It destroys our happiness. It distorts our usefulness. And thirdly, look what he said. In verse 30, I just want you to look what this boy said. It disturbs our oneness. Look what he said. But as soon as this, thy son was come. That was his brother. But he wouldn't acknowledge him for being his brother. He said, your son. You know, when you get mad at somebody and you get out of sorts, it disturbs our oneness. Can I tell you that, boy, God is very much into unity and fellowship. We are brother and sisters in Christ. There are no big ones and there are no little ones. A lot of people said, well, let me ask you this. If so-and-so sins, what do you do? What would Jesus do? You say, well, preacher, if it ain't no big ones, ain't no little ones, what you going to do with this issue or that issue? I'm going to try my best to do what Jesus would do. He'd have mercy and compassion. Wonder what you'd do. Matter of fact, I guess if we was going to have a church that didn't have no issues or no problems, then I guess we could say, okay, everybody with no issues, no problem, y'all come in the sanctuary, but everybody else go out back. I'd have to go to the out back crowd and preach that Sunday. And you and nobody else would be sitting up here. You may need some mercy one morning. Your wife may need a little compassion one Saturday. Your husband may need a little compassion one Sunday night. One of your little young'uns may need some compassion one Tuesday night. You see, he got all upset, got all bent out of shape. You know why? Because he is all into himself. His biggest problem was him. He thought too much of himself. So there's the fit, the fault, the facts, but lastly, there's the finding. There's a finding, and we would not know it unless he acted this way. Now, I want you to remember this. Jesus has taught three parables. This is the backside of the third, which is really one of the greatest in the Bible of being the fourth. We would not know what the finding would be unless the elder brother acted like he did so them Pharisees could understand. Remember, Jesus gave these parables to bring it down to where they lived. I'm glad his teaching's not way over my head. I'm glad he brings it right down to where I live. Just as he said in Matthew 20, he said, Ken, you got in 1981. And the boy that gets in 2013, don't you say one word for what he's got. Let me go on this part right here a minute. I don't want to forget this whole thrust of the sermon. I got about 17 minutes or more than that. If I want to, I'm the pastor. I asked my wife, I said, hon, what? I want to ask you something. I know about men. I heard a man the other day, a boy in church killed a big old buck. One little old fella said, well, he couldn't hit him right, so he had to hit him in the head. Nearly missed. I said, well, don't matter. He put him on the truck. Now, this was the issue. Somebody had killed a buck bigger than the other buck. I asked my wife, I said, what tears women up? She said, oh, I can tell you that real quick. I said, number one, success. Number two, happy home. If a woman hadn't got a happy home, she don't want nobody else to be happy. What was the third, hon? I done forgot that already. Beauty. Oh, my Lord, how did I forget that? You know, one of my preacher boys, him and his wife, well, they all pretty good looking. Brother David's got his issues like me, but the other two's pretty good looking. And you know the problems they have in their church. The women is jealous over the beauty of the ladies. How silly. Now, you watch this, ladies. I was preaching Louisiana. I got on this thing. God let me get on skateboards. I preached 30 minutes on. I got me a coach pocketbook. And you know something? Isn't it amazing how jealousy pops up? Boy, look what they drive. Yeah. Well, you ever thought about this, what it might took them to get what they got? I've heard this about preacher. You seen that preacher, what he drive? I went to a camp meeting. Church had just bought me a new Avalanche. That thing was beautiful. It was blinging. It was shining. And I pulled up. You know what an old jealous preacher said as soon as I got out? I didn't even said nothing. This is what he said. He said, I had one of them. I didn't like it. I said, I love mine. I love mine. Boy, isn't it amazing, though? You know, when somebody's got something, and you always remember this, they may have paid a price to get where they are. They may have had to do some things that you hadn't done, but if they hadn't, let's just say if they hadn't, if you're saved by the grace of God, you got more to shout about than anybody in the house. Amen. There was a lady. I hope she gets this on the radio. I hope she hears this. She come by the house the other day, and I'd just come out of the woods. And I had on my Under Armour. Where's Braden? Amen. Say amen tonight, Braden. Amen, son. Had on my Under Armour. And she went home, told her mama, said, you ought to see what that preacher had on. So I bet he had on $300 worth of Under Armour. What, did she think I was going in the deer stand 29 degrees in a pair of gym shorts? You know what that is? Jealousy. 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 Just jealousy. Same old gal called her mama. So-and-so bought a new car. How they afford that? Where does he work? Oh, knows if I wish she is here tonight. Amen. Jealousy. You know something? I wish I pastored a church and everybody here had brand new everything. I do. It don't bother me somebody doing good. I want to see everybody do good. And you know, some of you may not want a new toy. Some of you may not want new clothes, new things. That's your business. But you know, the little things in life go a long way. Don't be jealous of what God has allowed others to have. He was. He thought he deserved more. Look, Lord, I served you all these years and I ain't had no issues, but he had the biggest issue than his little brother had. His heart wasn't right. His little brother got right. Yeah, he'd been in the hog pen, but he come home right. And his brother was more wicked than he was because he is hiding his wicked heart. But it told on him. And it'll tell on every one of us. Amen. Well, what gets men? Same thing as women. It all gets down to the same place. That old nature in us. And we better watch it. Because it'll cause us problems. Now the finding. Watch this now. I'll be done. I know some of y'all are so glad. I'm going to get me a drink of water before I do, though.
his fit. He had self-pity, he had jealousy, and he had anger. It's a bad combination. His faults told on him. His facts, it destroyed his happiness. It distorted his usefulness. He wouldn't go in. And it disturbed his oneness. He wouldn't call his brother. He said, your boy. Now, lastly, the finding. We wouldn't know about this unless the elder brother showed his head up. But look what Jesus shows now in the finding, number one. Verse 31, look how he reacts to the elder brother and what he tells him. He says, and he said unto him, capital son. Look at his amazing position. We all better look at our amazing position. We're children of God. How much better could it get than to be a child of God? How could I be envious or jealous of you? How could I be jealous or envious of a sinner that come back home and Jesus begin to smile upon? How could I ever have anything to say because of my position in Christ? I'm a son. I'm a child. Number two, the finding not only his amazing position, but look in verse 31, his abiding presence. He said, son, thou art ever with me. Aren't you glad that he's always with you? Not only his amazing position, his abiding presence. Number three, his abundant provision. Look what he said. My Lord, and all that I have. Look what he said. And all that I have is thine. What are you crying about? What are you belly aching about? All I got, you got it. Y'all didn't get that, did you? His abundant provision. But lastly, look in verse 32. The Father's achieved purpose. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The achieved purpose. That's why the Son came. That's why he told them people in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, them Pharisees that was murmuring that he received sinners. He wanted to let them know that's why he come here. He that was dead is alive again, was lost and is found. You know what I think the elder brother done? I think he said, you're right, Lord. You're right. And can I tell you that he's always right? And he never does wrong. Think about all he has is ours. Think about not only our possessions, but our position. We're a child of God. And folks, let me tell you this. I think we're getting used to being saved here. We better never get over before we was when he found us. Matter of fact, they was having pretty good church service. Look, they was being merry. They was glad. They was happy. Why some of y'all look so sad when you come to church? Because we know you're going to preach on sin. Well, get to doing right. Get to doing right. Well, we ought to be the happiest people in town. Look what he's done for you. We got no room for jealousy. Is Kristen here? Kristen? Come here, Kristen. I want to close this sermon with my last point. Sing a verse. This is the last point of my sermon. Listen to it. Pretty good outline. Go ahead.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. And what you hear, make it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Sing another verse.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. And what you hear, make it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
That's a good job, and I'm glad you come to this church. Stand with us tonight. Thank you for being here. That's a pretty good outline. Say amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord today.